song.
What song?
Let's go. The NBA start the finals?
Thursday night. They set it ahead of time, so they were waiting for to see if the one of the series went longer or something.
You know who the unvaccinated twins are?
Max Kepler is one of them. He won't be playing in Toronto. Four pitchers. I'm not sure who they are. I heard Joe Ryan, who's currently on the DL, is unvaccinated, I heard.
I thought he's on the COVID list.
He is on the COVID list now. Oh. But but they thought he was going to come off and be able to pitch this weekend, but he won't. But I don't know who the others are. And also, Kirilov's been called up. But see, this the list I heard was that there was only one position player, but that was before the outbreak here when Kirilov got called up. I don't think he's vaccinated. So it's going to be a very interesting collection of position players that they break out up in. But Correa is vaccinated, but Rocco said that. So he just got the COVID because, you know, it doesn't seem to make much difference whether you're going to get it or not. It's just the severity of it.
Toronto also has to deal with this each time they come to the U.S., correct?
When they come back to Canada, they have to deal with it, I think.
Oh, I thought they also weren't. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, I think their rules for traveling back here are the same as they are for all Canadians.
Okay. Check this out.
Pause it up.
You mean to tell me? That the Blue Jays have unvaccinated players?
No, they have a 100% vaccinated.
Oh, they do.
Team.
Okay.
Yes. So I was going to say then, how could they play in?
Well, that's
Canada?
A good point. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, they had to get all their players to get vaccinated. I think we might have the highest number of any team that's gone up there. 5.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah, we do. We got that. But I don't know. This is not 100%. For instance, Miranda was when they were telling us about off the record, off the list, Miranda was on his one-day send-out to St. Paul, so I don't know if he's vaccinated or not. I don't know who is, but Kepler, I heard for sure, is not. And
10 years ago today, the dark man died?
The dark man died, man, 10 years ago today. I was lamenting him earlier today, and I said, never had a better friend who I didn't know if one thing he was telling me was the truth.
Right.
Yeah, but your line for that is great. Who gives a damn?
Yeah, my wife had many friends, several who were in the media sort of fringe-wise or married, and they'd all say, how can he stand that guy? How does he know if he's telling the truth? And Katie says he doesn't care.
Yeah,
I mean, what difference does it make? It was harmless, but one of my favorite 5 Dark Star moments is when he and Joe are at my house for that party, and he had to confess as to the motive of his show.
I said, do you have a theme? Do you
do you
have a plan for this show? And he said, whatever the next 15 minutes for the Dark Man.
No, he said, do you have what thought do you have? Yeah, you said, what thought do you have when the show starts? And he said, the thought I have is, what can the next 3 hours do for me?
That's right.
Dark Star. Never. That's the only time he ever told
the
truth.
That was the truth.
He was an unbelievable hustler, but his theory of life was spend whatever you want to and worry about how you're going to pay it later, figure out a way to pay it later. I mean, he had as much business being on courtside seats, split them with Bill Mozzie, the lawyer, who was probably only making $10 million a year or so. But he split those tickets, Well, he couldn't afford to sit there. He wasn't, he wasn't making that much money.
Wasn't the story always that didn't he come from tremendous wealth?
No.
Lying to me about that?
No, yep, he came from his father was the was the financial guy among the Jelco founders, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, but he wasn't in for a big, you know, Grossman and somebody else were in for like 80% of it. And, you know, he had some money, but not endless supply. And I think by the time his lovely mom, who used to come to our house for Christmas and Thanksgiving with him, and for she'd get about 2 hours out of him, and then he'd have to be moving. But I think he probably had her pretty well drained by the time it was over, too, by the time she passed away. She lived in the same apartment building as he did.
That was my favorite part of your column today, by the way, Pat. When Ryan Lefevre is quoted as saying, I was all set, ready to sit next to him at the Timberwolves game, and Dirk said, you're out.
He'd been harassing him for 2 years to sit next to him, and they set the date. Lefevre, young guy. They've set the date. Finally, it was going to happen 10 minutes before he's going to pick him up so they could park underneath in the deluxe area. He calls up. Ryan picks up the phone, looks and says, Dark Star, and he says, you're out! What do you mean? You're out! He said, how can I be out? I'll tell you later. Boom. He's out.
Well, who sat there then?
A very attractive young lady who he noticed when he was
watching the game on TV.
He went to watch the game to see if he could get a glimpse of who was in his seat and wasn't surprised at the result, I can tell you. That's right. But now Ryan gives him, here's the other thing, is Ryan gives him great credit for talking to him about it. You know, Ryan's been public about his depression and drinking problem and stuff. I mean, he comes across as you know, he's 51 years old. He looks 28, you know, and he's got four kids now, I said. But he talked to him about him. Dark counseled him on his drinking problem and stuff like that. Dark was always trying to cure the bad habits of people that he had no intention of curing in himself.
Right.
You know, he was, you shouldn't drink so much, but, not. He's a couple of the good stories I didn't get to tell today was because I wrote 1,200 words, which is 500 more than they want. But Kevin Gorg told me that his life partner, Chrissy, was having a case of influenza that was almost fatal, right? And she was at some hospital, and he went, and Dark had met her like twice. Went to the hospital. There were two huge bouquets of the greatest roses you could ever have. And everybody was saying, oh, your boyfriend, Kevin, he's such a great guy. And he said, neither of them are from him. They're both from Dark Star. And once, when Zalo's opened and it was hotter than hell. You know, it was really hot when it first opened.
It doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
I think they're closed now. Oh. You know, they were up there by themselves on that corner for a while, and then a lot of the competition came in. But we were in there with Tom and Judy Swanson. Katie and I were in there with Tom and Judy Swanson. And Dark didn't drink in front of me. Mm-hmm. He wanted me to believe that, he was...
He wasn't
practicing. You know, not that I gave a damn one way or another. But we come in there, and he's at the bar, leaning on the bar, hammered, and hey Dark, how you doing, Katie? And he knew Katie, and he sent us I don't drink,
right?
Katie has four glasses of something a month, and we got the two rubes from Minot with us. He sends us over a bottle of Dom Perignon,
which he couldn't afford
back then, $150 bucks or something, probably $300 now.
To be him.
Just for people could say, oh, that Dark Star, what a guy. He didn't have to do that for me. I always knew he was a character.
You didn't preview with, hey, you like champagne?
Champagne? No, we didn't even know. Send Katie Judy and Tom over a drink.
Yeah,
you don't have to send them over a bottle of Dom Perignon.
You know, you mentioned that he didn't like the drink in front of you. Rook and I have never had a prop drinking in front of you.
I think the rest of the staff, full disclosure, we don't practice that.
I enjoy drunkenness around me. It reinforces my sobriety.
You always give good alcohol gifts.
Yes,
you always give top shelves. Yes.
It is my regret, I guess, isn't these foo-foo beers. But, you know, when I was practicing, there was about four kinds of bourbon and two kinds of vodka and two kinds of gin.
Right.
Now you have all this
incredible
Kentucky bourbons that we never knew existed from 1826 and stuff like that.
I can tell you, no matter what shelf it comes from, it gives me the same result every time.
Yes, but it's.
I got a kid who I think's done the bourbon trail twice.
Really?
You can take a touristy type thing in Kentucky and visit.
You know who has done that? Who has led some of those tours? Our gal Melly, who used to do promotions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She works for Jim Beam now.
She's still working for Jim Beam. She's moved from various booze companies.
Correct.
So, right.
But she's been with the Beam for a while.
My old man was a Jim Beamer.
Yeah?
He liked the Jim Beam. Or Cabin Still, which was the cheap stuff. And often he would get a bottle of, what was the one, the expensive one? He'd get one of those bottles a year, and Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort.
And
Janis Joplin's
then he'd finish it, and then he'd fill it up with cabins. He'd get some jugs of Cabin Still. So when his buddies came over, they thought they were drinking Southern Comfort, and they were drinking Cabin Still, which was the bottom shelf stuff. So.
Joe, on the 10-year anniversary, will you please tell the roof story? It's one of my favorites.
Yes.
Well, Pat and I essentially invented Dark Star.
We were both
at the St. Paul paper at the time, and I don't remember the origins of his arrival coincided with the development of Canterbury.
Yes, 85 it's when it was, because yes.
And he claimed to have horse racing knowledge.
But he had never been in the public domain until he called us.
Yeah.
The next year, then he became.
So he would just call into your show as a caller.
It was the second year of Canterbury where he became a Canterbury guy.
Okay.
And then wasn't it one of his early claims to fame, too, is that he called, he had something to, that he overheard something at the Lafayette Club?
No, he didn't tell us what the source was.
Oh.
He called us and said, in December, early December of 85, Bud Grant is going to quit again.
Right, right.
This is Dark Star. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. On that show, nobody ever blinked. We didn't blink an eye because we had toads.
You just ran with it.
We had toads.
Guys had said orange pop.
Yeah, right. And he said, Bud Grant is going to quit again. Because Bud had only come back for 1 year.
That's right.
He came back for 1 year. And we, of course, went with it. We said,
why not?
Learned exclusively.
You heard it here first.
From Dark Star. Bud, goodbye, Bud. We did the whole thing and we made it a big deal. And I think the Channel 5 people were hearing the show. They didn't know where it was coming from, but we were saying, Bud's going to quit. So they came up and asked, and he said, don't worry about it. I guess it was Dark
Star. Just some whack job caller.
And it was denied, but it got out and around enough that it was denied by everybody.
Right.
Bud denied it. Everybody. 2 weeks later, Bud quits.
Right.
Suits writes a column. There's a new tipster in town. Yep. Sid's days are over. To needle Sid. And a new tipster. And then we get to know him a little bit.
Yeah.
But we hadn't ever really knew who he was. But then he started telling me, or us, he used to be one of the guys in the selection box at the L.A. Herald Examiner for the racetracks there. There is a 3% chance maximum that was true. But back then, there was no internet.
You couldn't verify it,
There was no internets to check.
Did he call himself Dark Star because that was the name of a horse?
Horse, yes. The upset winner of the Kentucky Derby in 1949 or something like that.
I have a picture underneath that stable at Churchill Downs because of the Dark Man.
That's what he said.
Yes.
And so Danny Tato was our handicapper at the Pioneer Press, and we were both newspapers were going huge with the racetrack.
With the arrival of Canterbury?
Yes.
Okay.
And we had a selection box with three guys. You had the formal handicap, which ate up a lot of space, and then you had the three selection box with other winners, and that was every day. And Danny could have been in Goodfellas, you know.
Yeah.
He would have been one of the guys that got shot early. But Danny got fired for domestic situation.
Oh.
And this was like on Tuesday morning, so they moved Phil Marutis, who was great, into the main handicapper, and they had an empty spot in the selection box. And what was his name? Jesus.
Montgomery.
The sports editor.
For which paper?
Us. St. Paul. Mid-80s.
Arnie Gaither?
The guy from Cleveland. Jeez.
Oh, I don't
know. I'm senile.
Again, on this show,
senile as a tick. Yeah. He calls me up and says, you got anybody to give us picks for tomorrow? And I said, give me a minute. I'll call this guy. And I call up Dark and say, have you ever been to a horse race in your life? I mean, can you say, oh, hell yes, you know, blah, blah, blah. So the next, he calls in his picks at like 7 o'clock at night that night. I go out there to hold his hand that day. He goes 0-9. So now I'm nervous. But then he'd been hanging around the track and he started drinking with the trainers over at the, he'd go over and buy drinks at the, at the, that hotel that's still there, the one on the corner. And he'd be calling in changes like at 8 o'clock at night after he'd talked to the boys.
After two beers, right?
Trying to get you some winners. But I did through the years, as he did our handicap, see him celebrating wins by horses that he did not select. In other words, I think if he had a really good one, he didn't give it.
He kept that one to himself.
He didn't give it to the public. He didn't think the public would really want to share in this 12-1 horse that was going to be drugged up or something.
Well, I don't know if you heard it, but Kenny on Garage Logic earlier today said Dark used to help him out when he was basically flat broke.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He'd go at the end of the month to pay a rent with $20, and he'd go sit with Dark for 2 hours, and he'd have his rent money.
Dark would just hand it to him.
He'd pick horses for Kenny.
Well, he'd get it from somebody too. Yeah. But yeah, his problem was, I think he was better at picking horses than he was football teams. His trouble was I knew his bookie, Greg, who's now the limo driver, Greg was his bookie. And Dark had, most people say, okay, I like these two games. He'd bet 12 in NFL games on Sunday. He'd bet them everything. To the point where you couldn't really win,
Right.
I mean, you can't beat them all. But I talked to Greggy yesterday, and he's down in Phoenix, been down there for years. He's still taking some action from people down there. But bookies are pretty well out of business because
you can legality.
Bet on the internet and everything else.
Are you watching any hockey?
Well, you haven't finished your story.
Oh, you want the roof story?
Roof story. We got to know the roof story. First of all, we got to know... What was his incentive to driving you to the fair?
See, I've been sitting here trying to think of that.
Yes.
Why did he? I'll give you a ride.
Just to get in with you, right?
Yeah. I think, why did I take the ride? I have no idea.
Because you got a ride. You didn't have to fight the traffic.
I didn't have to fight the traffic. Right. So, he picks me up. He's going to take me to Monday Night Sports Talk at the fair. And I get in the car, and I'm just conversationally.
Pre-Garage Logic. So,
conversationally, I was saying, man, I got to get up on my roof. I got to do some work up there. I had it was a flat roof in the previous winter. There was a problem, and I got to get up there and take a look.
Well, didn't you? I thought the story was you were already knowing that you had to do something serious up there.
Well, no, I seriously, it was conversational.
Okay,
I don't know why I brought it up even, but he said, you need a roof. I said, well, I don't know if I need one.
Yeah.
That was it. I don't know if I need one. I think I have to have that examined. Honest to God, the next morning at 7 o'clock, we heard...
There's people on
people on the roof. This is a true story. Oh, there's people, God. There's ladders out there. There's all of a sudden all this crap from the roof's landing in the front yard. And I went out there. I said, what's all this?
What's all this?
The guy said, Dark Santa. He said, you needed a roof. I said, I didn't even know I needed a roof. I'm trying to find out if I needed a roof
the
or not.
Next morning.
He says, well, you're getting a roof. God. And hell, they stripped it. They had to finish. Well, I mean, they had to do the roof.
Which you did need, right?
I ultimately learn that I needed a roof, but I didn't know these people from Adam.
Well, you know, his Washington years, it's hard to follow his years, but his Washington years was with a roofing outfit.
Right.
So his best buddies from Washington were all roofing guys.
Well, and he somehow got to know local roofing guys.
Oh, yeah, because he's, you know, I'm
in
a roofing
industry.
Guy.
He called him. And he's in St. Paul tomorrow.
Yeah, but but those, you know, the thing we discovered at the funeral or the memorial service was he had like six groups of friends, many of whom didn't know each other existed. Mm. And the Washington guys all showed up.
Yeah.
And he used to go spend a week in the summer with them in Delaware at the shore. He'd always go. These were his Washington guys he stayed connected with. Then he had the L.A. guys that he, you know. When he was handicapping at Herald Examiner, he was actually working in the bag room at Riviera. He was a nom, and then he came home and did a lot of goofy stuff. He had a lot of bad jobs. And then he came and when his dad ended up here with his stepdad, ended up here with Jelko. He came and went. He was doing stuff for Jelko, and as much fun as we had with him in the sports media, he belonged in the car business.
Oh yeah,
he was made for the car business.
Right.
You know, he and my buddy Sonny Hergott would have been great partners in the car business. You know, Sonny used to sell some old lady a car and say, "Put her away like a school kid." Back car business was more fun. When there was no information on what they actually cost, and they could screw everybody.
What were you telling us before the show about the Monday night, or excuse me, the sports show, the first one that you guys did after dark had passed?
Oh yeah, Sid was virtually speechless because we kept an empty seat for dark, and it was going to be this was Sunday, you know, 2 days after he died, and Sid was virtually speechless because he considered him
a rival.
Yeah, he started trying to say something, and then he just bailed. He said, "Oh, he reminds me of the guy who used to always want to have seats behind the Gopher football bench and the basket." You know, just it made less sense than most of his stuff. Now, how old? 2012. He was 90. Ninety. So probably 90. Huh?
'92. Sid found it difficult to say nice things about other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did hear a great story, though. Who told me?
Chad?
George?
No. Somebody told me this yesterday. Oh, Bobby Hagan.
Bob Hagan, sure.
Told me this yesterday. Hagan would have lunch once a week with Dark Star. And then once in a while he'd invite Sid, too, because he was close with both of them. And said, "What are you having this jackass here for?" And then he'd call him afterwards. "I don't want to go to lunch with that jackass anymore," and blah, blah, blah. But at one of these lunches, Sid said he needed tickets for a Wild game, and he couldn't get – the game was sold out. Sid couldn't get tickets. And about half hour later, Dark was handing him four tickets at the blue line, you know. And then – "How much?" And he said, "Yeah, they're good. Don't worry about it." And Sid was saying, next time you have to take it, "You know that he's not a bad fella, that Dark." He's a pretty good fella. You know, the number one ticket hustler of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Sid was out hustled for tickets by Dark Man.
And that was okay because it wasn't a scoop, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, But he was, you know, he basically started Ticket King. Ticket King was probably the biggest sponsor on the sports show, you know, because you know, back when. Back when you could get pasteboards instead of. Joe, I was doing a tirade on this the other day. If you're my age or you're a little older and you have a flip phone or something, you virtually can't buy tickets to go to a Twins game.
Correct.
Are they all electronic?
It's all electronic.
So are the Vikings, by the way.
Pretty much all electronic.
The Vikings are too.
Send it to my wallet, the Wild game. I mean, if
Wild tickets are electronic.
Yeah, if upstairs, if there's tickets available, it's all electronic.
They keep wanting me to sign up for the Apple wallet.
Yeah.
A, I don't know what my password is, so leave me alone.
How about go to forget password?
I don't trust having that on my cell phone.
I'm actually with you, Patrick. I don't either.
You guys are nuts.
I want to be able to go to the window.
I want to hold the tickets.
I want to go to, yes, plus people have been collecting tickets and keeping them as memories for 1,000 years.
Yep.
So speaking of that.
So all the Wild tickets, event, Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I had to do it for Bocelli's deal.
Oh, that's right.
And I had no idea until I got there where they were hiding in the phone. And I just finally hit Ticketmaster and they popped up. So,
do you have a wallet, guy?
Boy, the Wild let down that whole 7th Street scene, didn't they?
Yeah.
They really
another did. Month would have been nice. Another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. But there's 9:30 starts.
Yeah.
We're good for the.
Oh, yeah.
Good
oh, yeah.
for the.
Well, truck 7th. Park and yeah. Cassetta. And, yeah. yeah.
So I was at the.
I don't like truck park.
I'm not a fan of it either.
I want a table. I don't want a cart.
McLaren
I
don't loves.
Have you Gotta seen add that to place? The list.
The youth likes that.
Truck I've never park been in and there. Tommy Reed's. Those were the two places that McLaren went with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Truck park is fun because you can get the foo-foo drinks and stuff like that, but. You're right. You really don't get a taste.
Too hard to work. I want somebody to come over and ask me what I want.
Yeah. Pat, you have a waitress department.
Saturday, wife was out of town this weekend. We had a game Friday night in Faribault. I decided the boys and I are going to St. Louis to watch the Birds Saturday afternoon.
You drove to St. Louis?
Yes. Yeah, so I took the boys
down.
Did
you know this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you worry about him at times?
No.
It's too far gone.
He's on his own.
It's over.
Right. So we head down to the Saturday afternoon game, get the tickets, we get in line, everything's good. See a guy in a Blues jersey. I did not know what had happened with, because they were in St. Louis playing Colorado in game 6.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, how did it go last night? The look of dejection as soon as I asked him that.
Ooh.
Oh, bad loss, overtime. But he was still where I could tell he had been up all night because it was a 1 o'clock game in the afternoon. And it was about 90.
I watched a little of them last night. They had 37,000 or something. That town, they love their Cardinals.
Saturday, Brewers are in town, first and second place. It was sold out. We're sitting in the right field bleachers. Goldschmidt hits a home run.
Goldschmidt's been in heat.
And it was so loud, my son looks at me and said, Dad, this is like a Vikings game. Mm-hmm. That's how loud it was. It was incredible. It's such a great
atmosphere.
It's
a hell of a baseball team. It is.
Not having football now just makes it even better.
Have you been there since they redid that whole plaza, by the way?
No. Oh, I haven't been there since that day it was 100 degrees. Oh, when we ran into each other. Degrees.
Yeah. God that was my. What, 07? Does that sound right?
Yeah. Weekend, Friday. Chris and I were there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah. Friday and Saturday was insufferable.
It was really
hot.
They
played an afternoon game in St. Louis on Saturday.
It was awful.
Made no sense. Sunday was okay.
Tell Pat what a couple of hats cost you.
So. The rule is whenever
$30.
I take the boys to a new ballpark, they get a hat. That's their thing that they get is a hat. $80 for two hats. One was a youth hat, by the way.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
How
well, and the thing is,
this much money.
They didn't really have the price tag. I'm thinking, all right, it's going
to
be around
$30.
The hat
used to be something you bought because it was cheaper.
Right, exactly.
You know, than the jersey, right?
Oh, you should have seen the prices on the jerseys in the team store. It was ridiculous.
I don't know.
There was an article I saw this weekend of why aren't people going to Twins games? Well, that's a big part of it, but you know there are other concerns too. But my God, I bet I dropped 200
some
bucks.
Another concern is. Yeah. You can't, if you're their core audience, that's me. 80 years old is their core audience. You can't get in the game. You can't get in the game. I've gotten 10 emails from people saying, my wife and I want to go to a game. We can't go because we don't know how to buy tickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, old people. I was telling somebody today the story about my favorite Twins fans ever. The Blizzard family. You remember the Blizzard family? We were talking about them in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The Blizzard family was Glenn Schwarz, the great Glenn Schwarz, who ended up being the Chronicle sports editor, but he was covering the A's for the Herald Examiner. We're there for one afternoon game. He's covering the A's. An afternoon game, and I hadn't noticed this. It's about 84, maybe. And he says, look at those people. And there's three people. It's 87 degrees outside, yep. And they got overcoats and hats with ear flaps, and the dad might have had galoshes on, and the two old people, and then they got a younger person who was 50 with them. So I got to investigate. And so I get I asked one of their ticket manager guys, and he says, yeah, they're a couple from like some place over near Moorhead, and this guy's their son, and he's like a professor at Moorhead State or something. But they only come to day games, and they can't stand the air conditioning.
Oh my God.
So they get all bundled up right in the middle of the summer. They're all bundled up. I can guarantee you. So Schwarz says, I don't know which one of us said, the Blizzard family. So this was before text or anything. So, you know, you couldn't text or anything. But I'd call Schwarz in the press box at some other town and say, they're here tonight. The Blizzard family's here. They're asking for you. Not tonight, today, because they only came to day games. But the Blizzard family couldn't get tickets. Now, they used to send in a check for every afternoon game when the schedule came out.
Really?
Yeah. They'd send in, Thursday.
Yeah,
They'd send them a check. They'd get their tickets back, and they were there 100% of the time. But they didn't. They wanted to drive home, so they didn't. They didn't stay in a hotel overnight. So all matinee games they were at, but they weren't at the night games.
Do you know what the most amazing thing about that story is? That you remembered everything in detail.
Yes.
You can't remember Frank's name over here, but you had the Blizzard family down to their address.
I'm not sure, but it was somewhere up, probably where Kenny lives. Probably right up there where Kenny lives.
That you remembered all that information.
The Blizzard family, I'll never forget. I thought for a minute when I was ranting about not letting old people buy, I was saying, what the hell do we call them? What the hell do we call them? And I was like, the Blizzard family. That's what we call them.
I guess I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. Because I know my dad complained about the same thing.
It's not hurting. It might be 100 people a game or 200, but it's stupid.
It is.
You should have the option to pay for your tickets.
Is it a measure of they're trying to attack the counterfeit market? Is that what this is about?
Maybe. I don't think so.
Or control, because they probably have their own handling charges.
But they're using it as environmental.
Oh, sure.
To cut the waste. We dump, 100,000 tons of plastic in the environment every day, but we're worried about what some Twins tickets are going to do. What a stupid.
You know this Tim Connelly?
No, not anything about him. He's, you know.
Is he big on collaboration?
He's going to take him to the next echelon?
Yeah, we're not going to echelon. Isn't it level?
Yeah,
I was saying that Chip wrote a pretty good column on Sunday about how everybody's happy now, right?
Yeah.
Timber, there's no fear anymore with the Vikings. The fear is gone. The Twins are, boy, it's a great clubhouse, even though the Vikings are, I mean, this is kumbaya and Timber, the Wild, we all love each other.
For a couple years anyway.
We all love each other. And this is just another element of that. I don't know. I didn't listen to him, but I just read the quotes today, and it's we try to determine how successful a guy is going to be by how he sounds in his press conference, and they're all lying.
Yeah,
they're not telling you the truth, you rockheads. He's not keeping D'Angelo Russell. He says he wants to keep. Stability. The biggest thing around CAD is to build stability.
We've been the hunter. We've been hunting the bear. Yes. We've somewhat now become the bear.
Yep.
And our football team needs to understand that. You know, and that's a different kind of mindset. We're kind of the hunted at this point.
How much did new sports lingo around here start with Coach Brew in 2007.
Boy. Pretty much the same.
He's in, yeah. Yep. I mean, he's still the epitome. He's yeah. still the champ.
Was he the Gopher Nation guy?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Was that,
oh, yeah.
He was the one that
Gopher
started
Nation.
Gopher Nation.
He got turf from Pasadena.
Who was the first guy to use the word culture? Might have been Brew. Because that's
remember.
Everywhere now. We got our culture.
Yeah. It's all culture. It's
if you want to get some, you better bring some.
Let's go.
I don't know. Well, Phil Fleck has took the culture over the goal line.
Oh, yeah.
He used it more than anybody. But
explain to me why Dustin Johnson would hook up with these Arabs.
I don't know. Don't know.
What if they boot him from the PGA?
Well, they're not going to let him play.
I know.
They're going to boot him from. I guess he just does it. He's, you know, there's not a lot going on there.
No, he's not disturbed
by
thoughts.
The guaranteed money, I mean, is, you know, he's apparently thought he apparently is satisfied with his career,
right?
Majors and all that stuff.
Can't blame him for being satisfied.
Or he thinks that eventually they're going to have to give in and let him, you know, that there's.
But will
be
his sponsors drop him?
Yeah, I would Royal guess. Bank already did.
Yeah,
really, RC,
I would guess, but it's
Royal Canadian Bank dropped him.
It's going to be interesting how many guys who are having a bad year, a couple of years, go over and switch. How long they survive, I don't know. I mean, the Saudis aren't going to run out of money. But
are the Saudis going to attempt to hold tournaments in this country?
Yeah, the Pumpkin Ridge next. The next one is at Pumpkin Ridge, which Pumpkin Ridge can forget having another
PGA.
U.S. Open.
So this
PGA.
Is a very bold challenge to the PGA. We're coming on board here. Yes. We also are going to have a tour.
I think part of it is that Europe, you know, they give you appearance money,
mm-hmm.
guaranteed money, mm-hmm. and these guys, I think a lot of these guys want the PGA to drop the big player want the PGA to drop that you can't get appearance money.
Is this basically the XFL? Is that basically what this is? It's
a lot better financed.
Somewhat analogous, really? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
got these oil
they got
guys.
Got seven tournaments with $275 million in payment or $225 or something.
Wow. Do they have a television deal?
I don't know. They probably somebody will have it on. They got these football games from Birmingham, Alabama against make believe teams, and they're on the networks, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen? Is anybody watching it?
I have not watched.
I haven't seen any
of it.
Ratings.
No, thank you. I did see the one highlight of our guy Kyle Sloter throwing a touchdown pass, but I didn't. I have not watched a second of any of these games.
I have not either. But I'm just wondering. Usually, when these leagues start, we find out like their ratings are okay or something for a couple of weeks. But I haven't heard anything about these guys.
Either.
I think the fact that they don't have a home stadium for the teams probably has
might be a detriment.
Makes it even better. I tell you though, the original USFL was great, man.
The New Jersey Generals?
I went to with the future senator of the from the great state of Georgia.
Yes.
First one come officially brain dead to to be elected. But you know, I went one I went to was in Tulsa. Why? Mike Rozier's debut in Tulsa. And they were playing in March, maybe late February or March. It's about 34 degrees, and they had a horse for the mascot, and this horse was down there shivering, and the guy was over in the corner, and the horse was like going like this, and there was 12,000 people there freezing to death, and I said, what are you doing here, you dumbhead? You know, unbelievable.
Although I remember seeing an interview, I think it was with Jim Kelly, and he was basically talking about how that league did.
Well, they had a lot of good players.
It helped a lot of guys' careers that otherwise.
It saved us from the Herschel Walker trade because they ended up getting Carter and Gary Zimmerman, and they got some players out of the. Lynn went and raided the USFL mm-hmm. and saved himself from the blunder of the Herschel Walker.
Did you read
trade.
About this guy who died in the car crash? The football player?
Yes.
Oh, Jeff Gladney.
He was a Viking.
He killed his passenger, too. Right?
Yeah, female passenger. Yes.
Well, did you read his? He's got a little of a troubled past.
Yeah, well, we threw him off the team because of the domestic. He got acquitted Mm-hmm. Did she not testify against
him? I don't recall the circumstances, but I know that, yes, he was acquitted from the charges.
Vicious, the accusation.
What, choking
vicious,
her?
And yeah.
Vicious, allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah,
allegedly.
Well, we let him go, but as soon as he got acquitted, the Arizona Cardinals signed him. But all these heartfelt, it's too bad. You know, maybe he could have gotten his life turned around.
At 25, yeah, you were rooting for him to turn things
but
around.
But, Joe, you've driven around enough, and everybody here in the last year and a half has driven around enough that they are not surprised when any youth dies in a car crash.
Oh, agreed.
They are insane.
That's right.
They are insane. People are racing to get around me before we go into the Lowry Tunnel so they can stay in, so they can be one car ahead of you in the line going in there. I mean, it's nuts. The driving is just crazy.
Drive to Chicago and back sometime.
Oh,
it's harrowing.
Trying to get around you on the freeway. Yeah.
When you leave, when I left Busch Stadium, Interstate 64 winding around town to go back up north through Missouri, it's posted 55. I'm doing 80 and getting past, like I'm standing still.
Well, the the one story that the Star Tribune, well, not the one, but the one they chose to ignore, I thought was about a year ago when that guy hit the corner of the tunnel and the car exploded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And we never really followed up on the two people in the car were dead. The guy in the back seat, I'm sure, died too. But he was just, that's what I always said. If I was an editor, now I don't know if there'd be a big enough force, but we'd have like five crime reporters. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah. Wow. Let's go.
But unfortunately, Joe's paper, just like the football league, they don't have a stadium.
No, right.
I don't even know where we are.
Have you found the new office?
Nope.
Do they deposit your check or to mail it to you?
Mail it to me.
Well, that's good. You and I might be the last two guys having checks mailed.
I can guarantee you I'm the only guy getting it mailed to me.
I am too. They keep saying to me, I want it in my hand. I want to see it. Yeah,
speaking of that, I got to go to the bank.
That's damn right you do.
Yeah.
You guys aren't
damn
here
right
anymore.
Well, where are we?
I don't know.
But first, before you go,
I can tell you one thing. I've never seen a guy have so much space that needs less than Glenn Taylor with the Star Tribune.
Yeah.
They invited everybody to come on back about 6 weeks ago.
Anybody take him up on it?
There's like, I'm in that 240 person newsroom. Three other guys, if you're lucky.
You really have 240 people?
No, but that's how much they. Yeah. That would be the occupancy if you wanted it to be. No, but they're in the 100. They're over 100.
I'm not sure we have 25.
Well, not as far as the reporting staff. You probably don't. Jace Frederick had a great line with me. I was Betsy's, their baseball writer, right?
Yep.
And I haven't seen her for a couple of weeks because she apparently doesn't. She goes a lot on the road, but I said, Jace, where the hell is Betsy? He says, I don't know. She probably thinks she works for you. Because those guys all have three beats,
Right.
You can escape all this.
How's that, Joe?
You get up to Giants Ridge, home to the quarry and the legend, two of the greatest golf courses in the country, Patrick, not to mention Minnesota. And a 37-hole special begins June 4 through August 29. Play the legend and the quarry on the same day for one incredible rate with lunch on them. Between rounds at the Wakuda Grill, that's got a lake view that's one of the finest and most peaceful overlooks in all of northern Minnesota. Look at the 3D course flyovers of the legend and the quarry at GiantsRidge.com and begin to realize this could be a great family vacation destination with water recreation, mountain bike park, dining, lodging, hiking, biking, really, really given the cost of like what Reavers just did, running down to St. Louis and buying two baseball hats and a couple of tanks of gas. You're at the Giants Ridge in a heartbeat compared to that. And you can make your tee time by calling Giants Ridge at 218-865-8030 or online at giantsridge.com.
Why did I play that? I saw a bear there once when we were playing, and it was a friendly looking bear. It didn't feel challenged at all.
Did you tell Royce you bought your bear?
Pat, do you have a bear?
Pat, what? A guy sent me a video of a bear swimming across White Bear Lake Sunday.
Really?
At the west end of the lake.
Wow.
Right in front of the boat works and just kept going. It looked like he had a cub on his back.
You know what's amazing? They're good swimmers.
I guess
those
so.
Bears.
Yeah.
So you know. I'd rather see a bear than an alligator.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
They're good swimmers, so what are you implying? Don't taunt them in the water? They'll catch you?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying that you just kind of let them do their thing and you do your thing. Right?
Well, like we learned from
Tim
Brewster.
If you're eating an ice cream cone, throw that baby as far as you can.
Nah, it's just a little ice cream.
We've been the hunter. We've been hunting the bear.
See? That's like Bruce said.
Hunting the bear. What's he doing now?
I was an assistant at where?
Texas A&M, wasn't he?
I've already lost interest.
That could be because they're considered the number one
cheater. You asked the question.
I know I did.
All right.
See you later.
We'll see you.
All right.